Welcome to Carding Truth Podcast, a father-daughter duo focusing on sharing revelations through conversations with the Lord. Let's get started with today's episode. Hi, and welcome to the first episode of Carding Truth Podcast. My name is Lindsay. This is my dad, Shane.
Hello, everybody.
And we just felt the call to start a podcast to talk about things that we've experienced in our lives, supernatural experiences, revelations from the Lord, just topics that are going on in our world right now and what the Lord is saying about them. So we are so thrilled that you tuned in to hang out with us today. And we are going to talk about testimonies today. We're going to talk about some supernatural experiences. And first off, we're going to talk about my dad's, one of his first supernatural experiences when he was in a vision. So I'm going to let him take that from here.
Ah, well, Lindsay, that vision, I've told you about this, but I went to a revival one night, and after the pastor was done having a preaching session, he had an altar call. And so when the altar call went up, I went to the front because I got under this conviction and I thought it was strange. I thought, why in the world am I being convicted? I already know Jesus as my Savior, but it kind of, you know, got beaten up into my chest real hard and come to the front kind of feeling. So I went up to the front. And as I did, I went up and the rest of the congregation pretty much followed me, and the altar was full of people praying. So, while praying up there, all of a sudden all the voices were gone. It got quiet, and I went into this trance, like a different environment. And I'm looking, and this gold dust starts pouring down. And it forms a silhouette of a man looking the other way. And that man was Jesus himself. And he was absolutely beautiful. He had the prettiest yellow golden light coming out of him. Of course, at this particular time, I'm looking at his back, and he starts revolving, just like he was on a pedestal. He just rolled right around. I could see him from the waist up. He had the most beautiful, bronzy, dark-colored olive skin. I don't know how else to say it. It was darker than I expected it to be. He was Middle Eastern. He had this brassy look about his skin, was perfect, and he was glorified, and probably not a lot like what he would look here on earth, but he was in glory, and I was looking at him, and he had this beautiful countenance about him, so beautiful. He had the beauty of a woman, but he had the masculinity of a man, and I don't know how to put those two together, but he was just something to behold. So he rotates around, looks me in the eye, looks at my chest, and as he looked at my chest, I could tell that he was looking through my life, and that he was seeing every event, and then his eyes left from my chest, looked back at me in the eye, and nodded his head. And when he nodded his head, this lightning bolt went through me, and it just caused my stomach muscles just like somebody had punched me in the belly, and I actually made this whoa sound. Because it's just like somebody hit me in a breadbasket. So, I came out of the vision with that lightning bolt. And there was a lady who had gotten off the front row. And she had walked up there and put her hand on my back and was praying for me. And I had no knowledge of it all because I was in my little vision world. And as I came out of the vision, I could hear everybody's voices. I could feel the pressure of her hand on my back, and she was speaking in an unknown language and shouting and interrupting herself. She would speak a while in this tongue, and then she would shout. And we were from a little Methodist church, and you didn't hear people speaking tongues much, but she was flat going to town with it. And then after she got finished, I got up, and everybody else got up, went back to their seat. That was pretty much the end of that vision.
Wow. Well, I know you probably have lots of questions, as I did, and I went ahead and phrased them for you, trying to ask on what you guys would probably ask yourselves, what I asked when he told me this the first time. So you gave us a description of how beautiful he was, but what exactly did he look like? Was it like typical Jesus painting at a church, the chosen actor? Like, is that what you were looking at, or was it something different, or how does it compare to that?
He had a beauty about him. It was just gorgeous to look at. He didn't look like all these paintings you see. He was Middle Eastern. He looked a lot like the recent Shroud of Turin sculpture they made. In the sculpture he had wounds and all this. In this, it was just perfect. He just was just absolutely perfect. He looked a lot like that reconstruction of Jesus from the Shroud of Turin. And he was just absolutely gorgeous.
What about his eyes? I've heard you tell this before, obviously, but there was something about his eyes that you noticed, that you explained when you tell this vision.
Yeah, I was startled when I looked into his eyes, that his eyes was this beautiful turquoise, bluish green. The closest thing that I've ever seen to it has been down to Destin, Florida, Panama City, where the water's kind of that iridescent green goes into the dark blue. Just think of that dark blue was an iridescent light blue color. And it was the mixing of that green and blue. Very captivating to look at. Was not expecting that on a Middle Eastern man. And often think that that's probably why the Pharisees said that he was a Samaritan and was a hybrid, is because he had the Middle Eastern look, but he had these blue eyes. And that's, that surprised me. He's beautiful blue eyes.
Yeah, that's definitely not something I would think of. But when the girl painted the picture, I can't remember what her name was, but she painted Akiana. The picture. Yes, yeah. It was kind of like a bluish, greenish, like she was trying to capture that same thing that you were talking about.
Yeah, her picture had more of an emerald green, but this had even more blue in it than that. It was just, it's hard to describe that color. Just haunting looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So I'm going to talk about the lightning bolt. What I thought when I first heard you say this was something happened during that lightning bolt. And I'm really thinking it was an impartation of your gifts, your spiritual gifts. What do you think about that? Did anything change after that? That was like, oh, he activated something inside me when he did that.
Well, the result of that lightning bolt is when I started getting the supernatural understandings and started getting more visions and words of knowledge and words of wisdom and stuff like that happened after that. So, yeah, it could have been the impartation, or it could have been that he awakened the gift that was already there.
Right, right.
There was something going on, but that was quite the jolt. It was shocking.
Well, and more shocking than that, not long after that, you also had a near-death experience.
Yes, I did.
So, wow, I don't even know what to say, but just go ahead and tell us that experience. And I have some questions as far as that goes as well. But what was all that about?
Well, it's shortly after I got married. I got married me and your mother. I was 20, just about to turn 21. And during that year, I had this experience. We had went to bed, and sometime up, 2 something in the morning, I just felt like somebody reached and grabbed me around the ankles and just pulled me straight up in the air. A couple of thousand feet in the air I went. That just incredible G-force was on me while we were traveling. And I couldn't even scream, we were going so fast. And so once I got up there, like I said, I estimate a couple of thousand feet because I was looking straight into Viking Mountain from my vantage point. And I don't know how tall that mountain is, but it's 1,800, 2,000 feet, something like that. And so I was up there looking into that mountain, and it was dark. And the being that had grabbed me was to my right. And he just flat said to me, he said, "You just died."
Mm.
prepare to meet Jesus Christ the Lord. And with that word, this brilliant light came out from behind the mountain. It was beyond the ability to describe. I will say that it was strange in that it looked like it was fabric. It was light, but it was almost like it was silk. It was almost like you could, if you were over there, you could reach and grab hold of it. It looked like it had folds about it. The beams of light looked like they were in folds, like you would see on a curtain. But it was just brilliant. I was just locked on it. And as he said that, I started moving towards it. And it was almost like his energy was wrapped around my energy, and we were going towards that light together. And my old high school was to my right. There was a four-lane called Andrew Johnson Highway that was coming up underneath us. And before we crossed over that highway, I felt the presence of Jesus in that light that was at the mountain. And keep in mind, this mountain's probably 30 miles away from me. You know, Greene County is in a big valley, and you've just got a couple of mountain ranges, and one of them is Appalachian Mountain Range, and Viking Mountain is a section of that range, and I was looking into that mountain. And Jesus just seemed bigger than the earth. He was this huge, and he spoke. It wasn't audible. It was telepathy, I guess. Mm-hmm. I could hear him clearly. And he said, "Take him back. It's not his time." And with that, I turned around. I went approximately 5 or 10 feet, and then I was back in my bed. And I couldn't feel anything. And then I felt a big thump in my chest. And after that thump, I felt the hot, honey sensation of blood entering back through my body, going through all parts of my body. Took a good 10 to 15 minutes to get restored. And I remember it going through my left ear. I don't know why I remember that, but I did. And I had the thought, oh, the blood stings are going to come, and this is going to be very painful all over. But I endured waiting for that circulation to come back, and then I got up, ran around there, and of course, shook your mother. Yeah. Said, "Hey,
yeah,
I had just died." The guy said, "I died," and she said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "I left here and I came back," and the guy said, "I was dead."
The guy.
Yeah. What they call him? I mean.
Yeah.
So she was too sleepy to talk about it. So I went into the kitchen, looked at the clock. It was 3:14, and I sat down on the couch in the living room and just pondered it. Didn't tell nobody about it for a long time.
Wow. And that's very, I feel like that's very common now that we watch near-death experiences on TV. People don't talk about them right away. It's like something very personal to them. And then God kind of gives you the word when to share it. Do you feel like that happened with you? Did he say just one day, like, "Okay, it's time to start telling this. My people need to know that I'm real"?
I noticed when I got in difficult situations, when I was trying to share the gospel with somebody, you know, I would tell them, "Hey, I've seen the light of heaven. It's real. And you're going to see it one day. We're all going to see that light at some point. And you've just got to be ready for it." I mean, I was ready to meet him. Had I not been ready to meet him, I'd had a totally different experience. I'm thoroughly convinced of that. But, used it for tough times to witness. But it was very powerful. I cannot forget it. I relive it every time I think of it. And it's the memory has not faded away.
I would say it would be a good thing for you, too, when you're like, when life gets you down and stuff like that, you know, this isn't it. Like, you're not afraid of dying. You just probably want to go back.
It was the most precious experience that I've ever been through. I mean, I really liked the vision, but the near-death experience was something that changed my life. It gave me something to fall back on a lot of times in life when times were tough. I'm just, hey, this ain't it. There was a couple of things happened during that was really eye-opening. I got to feel what it was like to not have gravity.
Right.
I also got to feel what the loss of time and distance was. And what I mean by that is when Jesus spoke to me, he was like he was right in front of me, but he was miles away. And it was like distance was not relevant, you know? And yeah. So that was a bizarre feeling. It's like we're all interconnected, like, you know, like on the internet, you know, when somebody logs in or they're part of that web, it's like you're the part of that spirit. You're part of his spirit when you're his. It's awesome.
Well, I'm sure everybody's wondering, are you sad you didn't get to stay? Are you sad you didn't get to actually go into heaven? And why do you think that is?
I think that he didn't allow me to see into heaven or to see him because I think it would have diminished my reward. You know, he said, blessed are those who believe and have not seen. I already believed before that circumstance. But, it was his will. I'm glad he sent me back. You wouldn't have been here.
That's right. That's why he sent you back.
Chelsea wouldn't have been here. We wouldn't have had our four granddaughters, wonderful as they are. They would not have been here. So, yeah, he didn't give me the opportunity to protest. He just said
He didn't give you the choice like he does some people.
No, I had to come back.
Take him back.
I am very much looking forward to going back more than anything else.
Not afraid of dying or anything because you know what comes after that.
Hopefully can take some with me.
Oh, yes.
Or help anyway.
Yes. So talk about your medical reason behind that. I feel like that's important because people that are having struggles with doubt and stuff like that, like, did this really happen? Like, did he hallucinate or something like that? You actually had a medical reason to why that happened to you.
Yes, after that, I made an appointment with my general practitioner doctor, and I went to him and told him that something was wrong. He checked me out, and he said, yep, you've got the heart arrhythmia. And I put my hand on my heart, and you could count 8 beats. And then when it went back to beat number 1, there was a skip. So you could count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3. He was doing that kind of thing.
Right.
So I surmise that between 8 and 1, 1 didn't come, and I died.
Wow. And you went on medication.
Went on medication. Yeah. I took beta blockers for about a year trying to correct a problem, and they made me so tired that it was like, I can't stand taking these things. I'm not going to take them. He said, well, get off of them. He said, if your heart's corrected, then you don't have to get back on them. But if it goes back, you'll have to go back on them. So I agreed, and praise the Lord.
I feel like you actually got a healing, too. You got a healing in all of this.
Yeah. My sister has the same sort of issue, but she still has to take her medicine. So.
Yeah, I feel like that's one thing you hadn't pointed out in the past, that basically you got healed after all this, too.
Yeah.
By faith, you came off of it, and really, what's the worst that could happen if it did happen again?
Yeah.
You could just go back and finish your journey. Wow. That is one of my favorite stories, and I'll never get tired of it. It's very exciting to know what's next, and basically that's why we're here. We're here to talk about stuff like that. Like I said, especially our supernatural experiences. Well, is there anything else you want to say about your near-death experience or your vision before we go today?
Yeah, I would just like to say, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, please make that choice. He is who He said He is. I'm a witness to you, and you're going to see Him one day, and you better be ready to see Him. He is the most wonderful being that there is, and we're down here to make a choice. And that choice is whether we're going to accept Him for who He is or reject Him. He loves us all. He loves even people who reject Him. It's not a matter of His love. It's a matter of whether or not you're going to receive that love. So please receive that love. You will not be disappointed.
That's good. That's some good stuff. Well, before we go today, I am going to give you all a little sneak peek into some upcoming podcasts that we're going to have. So, how did God redeem Adam's dominion? The John chapter 9 prophecy and the sign about the Pool of Shalom, which is, if you're watching the news, it's happening right now. What are the seven heads of the dragon? Will the temple be built, and how long does it take? And what are the two, or who are the two witnesses? So those are some exciting things that are coming up. And as always, we appreciate you hanging out with us, and we pray that you would be blessed. And we'll see you again next time.
If you are enjoying the content and would like to support our ministry, you can do so through Venmo or PayPal. Our handle is @CardingTruth, or use our QR code.
Oh, by the way, if you're a YouTuber, subscribe and hit the bell.
Like and subscribe, that's right.
Oh, also, you probably can get the email address.
Yes, we are cardingtruth@gmail.com. If you have any questions or anything like that, feel free to email us, and we would love to get back to you.
Be kind for
Yes, and as always, be blessed. Have a great day. Mm-hmm.